Welcome to the Start Over Coder podcast. I am the Start Over Coder, and I'm taking you along on my quest, taking up a new career as a professional developer and pursuing financial independence. Today, I have two more discoveries to share with you. So this is part of a series where I share a couple of resources that I think are worth sharing. And up to date are Chingu and U-Matrix, two things I am very excited to talk about. So first up is Chingu, and a huge, huge shout out to Stu, who I met at Codeland, who is the person who told me about Chingu. And it was literally the first morning of the conference before any of the workshops or anything had even started. And now that I know about this, I honestly feel like I could have like walked out of that workshop and gotten a lot of value already. So really huge shout out to Stu for that. But basically Chingu is a developer community where anybody can get experience working on a dev team. So how it works is basically people are from all over the world who participate in this, and everybody's at different skill levels. So there are very early kind of beginners doing purely HTML and CSS, and it goes all the way to people building full stack applications. And you are paired with 2 to 3 other developers, and you have 8 weeks to build a project from scratch. And you come up with an idea at the beginning as a team, and then set up how you're going to work on it over that 8 week period. And the pairings themselves or the groupings are based on, first of all, the tech you're interested in. So you kind of say things that you have experience working with, like whether that's JavaScript or HTML and CSS only, or working with Node or working with different databases. And then you can also say which ones you would like to do. So if it's something that you don't necessarily have experience in, then you can at least identify the fact that that's something that you would like to gain experience in. And then in addition to technology, the groupings are also based on skill level, and so that people with similar skill levels are grouped together, and also the time zone of each person so that it's feasible that you can have meetings at regular intervals throughout the process. So once you're in a group, you work in week-long sprints during the whole process, and you have that much time to get your project going and sort of set tasks that you're going to accomplish each week that each person will be working on, and then you check in regularly as you're going throughout the process. So you've got your teams to rely on, but then there's also a much bigger community because there are other people around the world doing the same process that you're going through at the same time. And then as far as completing your project, it's really just up to your team because you pick what you want to build. You make sure that it's within your skill level, but also a little bit beyond what you're all capable of so that everybody's learning and growing. And then it's completely up to you to self-organize and make sure that all of the tasks that need to be done to build the thing are done in a timely fashion and, you know, get help if you need it or what have you. So the reason why I am so excited to share this is because, well, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while now, you know that I actually did a workshop just like this in person last summer. So I recorded an episode about that process and experience in episode 30. So you can go back and listen to that if you want more details about that project. But bottom line is I learned more in the 6 weeks of doing that project than I had in the whole 6 months I had spent before trying to teach myself to code and just learning by myself. It just leveled me up so much better and quicker than I had been doing and I think could have done on my own. So there were a lot of topics that we covered and that I got experience in that process. So amongst those are, first of all, picking which tech to use. There are obviously many options out there about how you can build things. And so working with a group to figure out how are we going to do that was a great skill. Doing project management, doing the whole Git workflow of, you know, issues and pull requests and working on different parts of the code base at the same time. Working with other people in general, you know, there are a lot of soft skills involved in that, and just getting an experience doing that was fantastic. Not to mention the app itself. So I learned so much about that whole process because I didn't know anything about building a backend before I started that project. And when I finished it, I didn't know how to do that. So I learned so, so much. And it was a real world experience because I was learning with real other people. And after I finished that workshop, I wanted to do another one pretty much immediately. Unfortunately, the person who organized it was just absolutely exhausted because it's a huge undertaking to sort of facilitate people who don't necessarily even know that much about coding, or at least don't know everything they need to know in order to complete the project. And we had, you know, speakers come in and workshops and all of this. So it was one person who organized it. She was absolutely just worn out from it. And I got the impression that the chances of her doing another one anytime soon were actually pretty low. So I had been looking for something else that I could do to give me a similar experience and just hadn't found it. And even I had tried sort of self-organizing. So after that last workshop, one of my group mates and I got together and we said, oh, we'll keep this going and we'll keep working on this app. And it just didn't happen. So all that to say, I am so, so pleased now that I have found Chingu, which is a similar experience. I'm so looking forward to how much I'm going to hopefully learn throughout the process, even though it's going to be a lot of work. And I think if you're interested in having a similar experience where you work with other people on a project, again, whether it's literally just building the front end if you're new to HTML and CSS, or if you want to do an interactive one, have some front end JavaScript, or all the way to a full stack application using lots and lots of different languages or technologies, I really do recommend it. Now, that said, I haven't actually started yet. So Chingu kind of runs in cohorts called voyages, and our voyage has started. It's kicked off, so we've all been introducing ourselves to each other, but our teams have not been assigned yet. So I don't actually know yet who I'll be working with or what my project will be. But I'm so excited. I just had to share it sort of as soon as possible. And to be honest, so far, I am really impressed by how everything is run with Chingu. So I don't really have any reservations about sharing it with you without having completed it myself. They take so much care to really vet people. There's a long application that you have to fill out. There's a second long team application that you have to fill out to get paired with people or grouped with people. You have to take a pledge to really commit to the project. And all of this is so that if you end up on a project working with other people, you don't want to be doing that with people who flake, because then that's just going to really damage your experience. So I think the organizer, Chance, and there are a few other people who seem to work with him on organizing the whole thing, they really take a lot of care and a lot of effort to make sure that everybody has as good of an experience as they can. And they do that with lots of really good communications and lots of posts and really active on the Slack. So it's just so far been a really good experience and gives me hope for what's ahead over the next few weeks. Now, that said, it really obviously does come down to the team. Anything can happen with the individual people that I end up being grouped with. So who knows? It could end up being a total disaster if, you know, anything happens with any one of us and people bail, or we try to bite off more than we can chew with whatever we decide to build. So, you know, anything can happen. But overall, I'm super, super excited to get involved. This time, I'm just planning to do it as a team member. There's also the possibility to join a Chingu group as a project manager, and then you're sort of facilitating the team, making sure that you're setting deadlines, meeting deadlines, etc. And that's something that is definitely interesting to me, so maybe I will do in the future. But if you are interested in getting involved with Chingu, which again, I can highly recommend with my experience so far, you can check out their website. It's at chingu.io, and that's spelled chingu.io. They also have a really good Medium publication that honestly has a lot more information about what the process is like, what you can expect going into it. So I will put a link to both of those in the show notes to this episode so you can check that out. And just to say, it is June now. They have a new voyage starting in July. So it's definitely time now if you want to get your application in. I mean, it is on a rolling basis. So whenever you're listening to this, check out chingu.io and you can apply there. But if you're listening to this in real time and would like to get started pretty soon, I go ahead and do that. Get your application in now. So my second discovery of the week is U-Matrix. Now, this is something that I've actually been using myself for a few weeks now and have got the hang of it a little bit. So I'm really appreciating it and thought I should share it with you. So U-Matrix is a browser extension. It's available on Chrome, Firefox, and Opera, I believe. And the main purpose is to block things from working in your browser. So that's everything from cookies, trackers from all different sources, third-party scripts that are, you know, not directly tied to, or not at least on the same domain as whatever website you're visiting, iframes, all sorts of things that either could have an effect on your privacy being taken away from you, or the web experience itself. And so I've been using it for a bit, and the reason why I'm excited to share it is because I've found it to be pretty shocking and educational to see sort of how people are building websites. So there are a few things that come with that. First of all, seeing how many people are using CDNs to deliver media and images, it really is interesting to see how that happens. And it does have an effect on page speed and performance of websites. So that has been an interesting thing to have a look at specifically, like who is using it and what effects can I see by the fact that they're using these CDNs. Another thing that's been really eye-open, well, I guess it's not really that surprising, but it's just kind of in your face when you use eMatrix, is just how deeply entrenched some of the trackers are across the web. So the big glaring ones are Facebook, Google, and Amazon. Especially Facebook and Google have trackers on just about every single website, and they are trying to find out everything about what you're doing online. And yeah, it's just, you know, in light of everything that's been happening with all of these companies recently, it's really interesting to see how the sites that I use are integrated with those services. And then in addition to those big ones, there are also lots and lots of third-party trackers. I mean, this is a service that people sell, is tracking what your users are doing so that you can get more information and market your site, market your content, change your content to better suit your visitors. So, for example, on the New York Times, there are six different third-party... So, you know, the New York Times has its own website, it has a CDN, it has all of these things that are literally just about the content that you're looking at. But then in addition to that, there are six third-party trackers literally there just checking what you do so they can figure out how to advertise and what to advertise to you. ESPN.com had eight different trackers. Even Trello, which I use very regularly, had four. And then as I'm going through Hacker News or on Twitter and, you know, clicking off to random posts and articles around the internet, some of the sites have even many more than that, like talking double digits of third-party trackers. And so that is not really great to see. And I do really enjoy the fact that when I do see them, I know that they're not tracking me. They're being blocked by uMatrix. And on the flip side of that, it is also refreshing to see what is not doing any tracking. So for a perfect example, Hacker News, if you go on there, there are no third-party trackers, absolutely zero. And that's really refreshing, I think. And then the third thing that I've seen by using uTracker or uMatrix is just how bad of a web experience people can have when huge portions of your site are either third-party JavaScript rendered or coming from CDNs, because there are some websites that I've been to where it's literally just been a blank white page. Like, the page cannot load because of how they have their website configured. And that's not a good experience. Now, I've also taken some information about how I can apply this to my own sites. For example, the Start Over Coder website is a static site that I've built from scratch. You know, I've built pretty much everything that's in that site. What I did do is embed Discuss, which is a commenting system, and also the Libsyn media player so that people can listen to podcast episodes on the Start Over Coder website. And just putting those two services in had added much more than two third-party requests to my site, which I don't really love. So, you know, I'm thinking about how can I get rid of those, whether it's figuring out a way to make my own commenting system that doesn't require Discuss, or building my own media player or what have you. So these are some things that I've thought about just by an effect of using this uMatrix on my browser. And then another big lesson is, so if you are going to do client-side JavaScript rendering, which is very common for things like React or front-end frameworks, you know, if you're going to use those, make sure that you're sending something back. You know, in those cases, maybe think about doing client-side rendering instead and just send the static HTML pages, but you know, whatever you do, you've got to send something back so that if these things are being blocked, then your users get some kind of experience. It's not just a blank white page. And I should say, it's not just people using these blockers who might face this. You know, yes, maybe a tiny, tiny fraction of 1% is going to use a program like uMatrix. But with things like reader view or even very small devices, thinking about like Apple Watch size screens, those sort of browsers or clients are not necessarily going to have the same experience that someone on a desktop would have. So it's just something to think about. You've got to send something back for any user so that they can have some access to your content. And then as far as using uMatrix, if this is something that you're interested in trying, the things that it blocks, how you set that up is 100% customizable. There are some kind of defaults that are in place when you first add it to your browser, but you can change those, add to them, take things away, and make it, you know, make more things come through if you want to. It's really up to you. And I will say, when you very first install it, it's really interesting to see, you know, a lot of the internet just doesn't seem to work. So there is a little bit of a time window where you're going to be whitelisting, whether it's like a third-party CDN or a subdomain. Those are considered a different domain by uMatrix. So if newyorktimes.com is the domain that you go to, but they serve all of their content on, say, content.newyorktimes.com, then that's going to be something else that you have to whitelist. So yes, there is a little bit of an adjustment period when you first get it to make sure that the sites that you do want to go and the content that you do want to have come through is actually allowed to come through to you. Now, that said, you can bulk add rules for the most popular sites. So I found a couple of repos on GitHub that have lists of U-matrix rules that you can literally just copy and paste into your own rule set. And the rules to allow those sites to work as they've been built will just go straight through. So I'll put a link to some of those in the show notes. And so yeah, all in all, it took about 2 weeks for it to stop being annoying on the sites that I wanted to use. And the way that you manage it is right there in your hands anyway. So yes, it's annoying because the sites may not work, but it is also just worth pointing out that there is a button just right in your browser that you can click on when content is blocked. And then you can unblock things just literally by the click of a button. So you can unblock a whole domain, you can unblock a certain type of request from a domain, or you can turn it off entirely so that everything on the site that you're on will just be allowed to come through. All the cookies, all the iframes, all the JavaScript, whatever. And then initially rules are staged. So as you make those clicks, they're kind of made temporary. And then there's a lock button that you can click once you're sure that you want to allow through or block whatever you've noted. And then those are permanently set in your browser rules. So for anything else, if you can't figure out a way to get a site to work, then you can go into incognito mode for the browser, and then you'll just have the full experience. So yes, there is some futzing around that you have to do, but I've learned a lot from doing it. And I personally just really like the fact that a lot of these third-party trackers, you know, literally handfuls of them per website are being blocked. So in addition to U-matrix, there are other browser extensions available out there. You can use ad blockers, cookie deleters, all these sorts of things to increase your privacy or improve your browsing experience. But what I really like about U-matrix is that the source code is available on GitHub. It's all open source. I haven't personally looked into it, but my sense from kind of community comments and things is that this is a solid piece of software. You know, there's not a lot being abstracted away to where you can't trust U-matrix itself. So you can go through that repo on GitHub and have a look if you want to. And the interface, you know, certainly is not going to win any design or intuitiveness awards, but it gives you all the control. And I think it's worth trying out, if only for the educational experience about how people are building websites. So that is going to wrap it up for this episode on my two discoveries. If you want to check out previous episodes in the discoveries series, I will put links to those in the show notes. I've got lots of fun, really cool tools that I found over the past year or so. So definitely check those out if you're interested. And this is one final call for questions for the Ask Me Anything episode, which is going to be the next episode that comes out for the podcast. So as I mentioned before, we're wrapping things up at episode 75. That's just two more to go after this one. And in the next episode, I'll be answering your questions. So if there's anything that you've wondered about me or about things that I've talked about on the podcast, send them my way. You can email me at startovercoder@gmail.com, tweet me at startovercoder, or leave a comment below this episode on the Start Overcoder website. And thank you again to all of the questions that have been coming in so far. I'm actually really looking forward to recording that episode. So I think it'll be a fun time. So if you like what you hear and want to stay with me on this journey of learning to code, starting a new career, and pursuing financial independence, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. You can do it through your favorite podcast app or visit startovercoder.com/subscribe for a list of available options. That's all for this time. Signing off.